Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Data Exposed. It's a pleasure to have Liam Cavanaugh back. We're going to have an interesting topic today, geospatial and Azure search. Liam, why don't you introduce yourself and then kind of discuss or let us know why we're going to be talking about geospatial and Azure search. It's kind of an interesting topic.
Okay, well, thanks for having me back, first of all. I think it's been probably about a month since our release.
Yep.
So it's great to be back. We've had a lot of feedback from different customers on different topics. And so one of the things that we're finding is a lot of people are finding this geospatial search capability quite interesting. So being able to build out mapping applications so that you can find documents based on geolocation. So I thought today would be a great opportunity for us to kind of go through some of the reasons why you would use that and then maybe how to get started on it.
I'm excited about this. So this is, for example, if I have documents that with coordinates in there or something like that. Is that what the, or so what are some sort of scenarios that people might be using this for?
Yeah, that's correct. So imagine if you were building some consumer application where you wanted to let people search for hotels. Mm-hmm. And that might be, show me hotels that are highly rated that are within 5 kilometers of this point. Or maybe you want to find hotels within a certain area using a proximity. So being able to find documents.
Not by zip code, but by, or maybe by zip code, but maybe by, latitude, longitude, or, point on the map? Is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there's some really interesting techniques that people use, including zip codes or even using mapping to let users draw in an area. I'm looking for homes and I want to find, homes in these areas. I just draw it on the map and then use the geo search to help drill into that
category. I could, Windows 8, with a pin, I could draw on a map. So I go, I'm looking here. And it'll find. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And there's,
nice.
There's even a lot of organizations that are looking to use this as well. So it's not just necessarily for consumer. It's also organizations are finding that they have all this data.
Commercial product type. Yep.
Exactly. And being able to let their internal users search it in a more natural way is quite handy as well.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So how would, you got some demos for us. How would, is this a is this like a draw or, let's take a look at some of your demos and see how we can, might be able to use geospatial, because I think this is very interesting.
Thanks. Yeah, so should we just jump right
in? Yeah, absolutely. Let's go.
So if you, for those of you that saw the last video, you will recall where we actually ended off, where we actually created this service in the new portal.
Yep.
So I thought I could just kind of pick up from that point where we can take the keys and the actual URL to start creating an index to loading the documents into it. So if we take that example that we were talking about before, where it's a hotel, what I'm going to do is I'm going to use this Fiddler tool to allow me to create a new index to host the content and then start doing some queries, some geospatial queries against it.
All right.
So in this first query or first call I'm going to make here, I'll just walk through what we're going to do. So I'm going to use my Azure Search service, and I'm going to create a new index called Hotel. You can see it's doing a put over HTTPS. We always pass in an API version so that you can upgrade as needed. And here's the API key that I'm using to authenticate within the header call.
Now this is the key that you got out of the portal.
That's right.
Okay.
So if we went back to the portal and we click on Manage API Keys, you can just copy and paste that. So down here in the body, this is where we actually define the schema of that index. So if you recall, we're calling the index Hotel. And it's got all kinds of different fields, like the hotel ID, the rate, the description of the hotel. We have some tags. These are comma-separated lists, so like maybe it has Wi-Fi and it's a budget hotel. But the most important one that we want to focus on today is this field, which is the location. You can see it's a geography point, entity data model type. And this is where you can actually store in longitude and latitude right into that document to allow you to start tying in the geospatial search.
Yep. Okay. Perfect.
So let's just execute this query and apply that index. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to start loading in some content. So I have another call here. This time it's a post. And to the hotel, I'm going to start indexing some documents. Still has the API key. But this time, the body, we just have 2 documents I'm going to load. And you can put them into batches. So in the first one, we have the description of it, the hotel name, a bunch of tags that identify it. But down here, you'll notice that we have the coordinates for this particular hotel.
Yep, okay.
That's right. So, and I have a second one that I can load in as well with a different coordinate. So we just go and apply that to the index.
Okay.
And so now it's ready for me to start executing searches. So perfect. Start building it into my application and start going.
Okay.
So let me throw in a couple of queries. So if we look at this one, changing it to a get, and this time what we do is we're going to make the call and we're doing a search for everything, but I want to filter it based on this function called geodistance. And this is the idea where I want to find hotels that are within X kilometers of myself.
Of this point.
Yep. That's right. And the way that we do that is using this geodistance function, I take that field. If you recall, we were looking at the
location field. Yep.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We're going to use that. And then I'm going to pass in the user's current point. So this is an approximate representation of, you know, where I am currently in Redmond. So I can say, show me all of those points that are less than or equal to 1 kilometer of myself.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So if I execute that, we get the results, and we can see that there is a result, but only one that came back. And you can imagine how you can take this JSON that we send back and then display it on top of a map
right.
to add in the point, maybe with a description, and then let the users filter in on that.
Interesting. Okay. So I could be standing there with my phone, for example, and saying, all right, you know, I'm looking for a hotel or a restaurant, for example, within, and because it's a, you know, the GPS location, it could, or here's my location.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say, all right, give me a, you know, Thai restaurant within 2 miles of where I'm standing. Bam, there's my list.
Exactly. And people really often try to tie in the different types of facets or filtering. So not only do you want to find the restaurants that are close to you, but maybe you might want to filter it by rating. So only show me, you know, restaurants that are 4-star or higher.
Yeah, okay.
Or that have the word Thai food in it. So you can really drill into it.
Or within a certain price range, right? I don't want to spend too much, but I can say, hey, what's in this within this price range?
Yeah, it's a really nice way to let users navigate. And to that other point that we were talking about before, where you want to be able to define boundaries, such as the zip codes, let me just show you a quick query that shows how to do that as well. I can go back to this composer and just drag in another query here. I think this is probably the one right here. Oh, nope, next one over here. So this time, what I'm going to do is, actually, and let me just bring it up into a different document so we can see a little bit closer. So these are the two queries I did. This one, rather than doing a geodistance, I'm doing intersection.
Okay.
So this time, I still use that field, but I also pass in a polygon. In this case, this is a really, really rough representation of King County, the county that we're located in. So I want to find all the hotels that are located within this specific area.
Right.
So I can just copy that query, paste it in, and now we'll get a result back. You can see it's pretty quick. There is only a couple documents, but we're quite efficient in doing these searches. Mm-hmm. And once again, just one document that was found within that boundary that you defined.
Okay. Interesting. So I'm not. So I can. This is the ability to say, all right, let me draw and give me everything within this.
Absolutely right. And you can build some really, really creative applications that way.
Yeah.
So the next thing that we've heard from users is that not all the time do they actually have this information, the longitude and latitude. Sometimes you just have the address.
Right.
So what you'll need to do is figure out how do you geocode that or convert that address into a longitude and latitude.
Yep.
So you can start doing this. And I thought it might be useful to kind of step through some of the ways that you can do that technique as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I'll do is I'm actually going to switch over to an application. Oh, and by the way, this sample that I'm showing right now is one that you can actually get from our developer center.
Okay.
If you go to azure.com and look at our docs, you can actually download this geospatial sample.
Perfect.
But this is a little application that we have available, and what it does is I'll just walk through some of the things that you'll see in it. So first of all, what we're going to do is we're going to create an index through .NET, and if we take a look at this, you can see what it does is it deletes the index, it creates a new index with a, well, actually let's take a look at that. This is the schema, and so you can imagine in this example, it's a list of stores that I want to put into my index.
Okay.
So I want to be able to show on a map all the different stores. And if we look at the actual data, we can see it's just in a CSV file.
Oh, okay.
You can imagine all this data coming from a mainframe, from some other source.
Sure.
And I need to get that into Azure Search so that I can do it. But there's no longitude and latitude.
Right.
So how do we get that in? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ultimately load it into an index with these fields. You can see it also has a longitude and latitude geography point that we'll eventually put it into. And so what are the steps that we need to go through? So we were just looking at creating the index. The next step is to actually geocode this. And Bing Maps is a nice tool to do that, where you can actually send up a whole bunch of addresses in a batch and let them process it, pass it back the results that you then take and then apply to Azure Search.
Interesting. So I can utilize a Bing Map to say, hey, I don't have latitude and longitude information, but I can send you addresses. Give me that information back.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Very nice.
So what we'll do is we're just going to load in that CSV file, put it into a format that Bing Maps is expecting, pass it in to Bing Maps to process, and then all we do is, based on the results, once the job is done, we're going to go and update the index with that geocoding information.
Oh, okay.
So let's step through this and kind of see what it looks like. So I'm going to run the application. So it's creating the Azure Search index, and the first thing that it does
without the latitude longitude.
Exactly. Okay. So at this point, what we've done is like you said, we've loaded in that content that we had from that CSV file without the longitude latitude.
We basically indexed the content in that document.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Exactly. So at this point now, what we've done is we've created an XML file from that CSV that Bing Maps is expecting. And in fact, if we just take a quick look at it here, you can see what format it looks like. You can see here it's got the address, the locality, postal code, et cetera. This is in an XML format that Bing expects, but I can batch them together so I can process it really, really quickly.
Good.
So the next step here is just to go and pass that up. And you'll see what we've done is we've just submitted that job to the Bing Maps data flow API. And it takes a few seconds to complete through the magic of video editing. Perhaps we can fast forward through this.
Yep.
But in about 10, 15 seconds, that should be done.
Okay. This is where the Jeopardy theme music should be playing.
Perfect. Yep. Exactly. Okay. So what we can see here is we've received these addresses back. And if I can see, there's 35 addresses that have been geocoded. And we have the longitude and latitude bringing back.
Okay.
And then I simply just go and do an update to the Azure Search index. And we now have that in the index.
That's sweet.
So let's go take a look at it in Fiddler, in fact. Let me just paste in go to Fiddler. Go to my scratch pad, grab a query. So what I'm going to do is just see if we can see the data. So what I'm doing is the index of what you call is called stores. And I'm just going to search for everything to just see if we actually have some data there. And we can see in the results here that not only does it have the data from that CSV, but it's also put in the coordinates so that I can start building out the geospatial application and start overlaying it on top of a map.
This is sweet. So let's say, for example, like in this scenario, you had a just a document with addresses and things like that, right?
Uh-huh.
Geospatial data without the latitude and longitude. In this scenario, could we have just as easily pointed it to SQL Server and the geospatial data in there? Because it has geospatial data type. Said, okay, I'm going to index that information. So instead of a document, we have geospatial data types in SQL Server. Could we just have easily indexed that and pulled that in?
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, if you already have that information, it's really easy to just grab that and index it really quickly.
Yep.
You don't even need to get Bing Maps to do that geocoding for you.
And the reason I bring that up, and I apologize, but this is, a lot of us have you know, addresses in mm-hmm. SQL Server, or you know, well, the geospatial data might even have the latitude and longitude there, but easily indexed. But this is the scenario where I don't have the latitude and longitude. Maybe don't have that geospatial information.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
That's
that
right.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I thought I'd just finish off just to kind of show you know a little application that we put together that overlays that on top of a map, just as a is an ASP.NET web MVC application. Just set it as a startup. And you can see all that we're doing is we're going to load up the Bing Maps, overlay it on top, and so here's all those stores. So if I click on any of them, not only does it have the location information, but we can bring up the content based on the search.
Wow, this is powerful. This is really nice.
Thanks.
Right, so very easily say, okay, I'm going to use an index geospatial data, use Bing Maps to leverage some of the geospatial information that we have, and then put a nice UI in front of it.
Exactly.
This is very nice.
Thanks.
Liam, this is wonderful. So scenarios around this, so do you see people starting to use this for like store-based information, or are people using this kind of information already?
So without Azure Search are you
yes.
referring to? Yeah, so we find that there's a lot of people that are really trying to add in additional mapping capabilities.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes this type of search can take a significant amount of time.
Yeah.
Sometimes it has a very high performance impact on that backend store. So since we have we've tried to really optimize our search to make it efficient and quick, regardless of whether you have, you know, 35 that we showed here or hundreds of millions of documents
right.
to be able to efficiently do it.
Okay.
We're finding that is just such a great way for people right. to navigate data that
yep.
it's becoming pretty
yeah,
useful.
Yeah, and I think this geospatial have plenty of scenarios for people out to say, okay, I need to do mapping. One of the things I was thinking about was, you know, was it Zillow?
Zillow,
right, I need
yes,
to.
Real
I'm
estate.
Looking, yeah, the real estate. I'm looking for a house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me just, you know, I can see them, well, just, okay, I'm looking here. Done,
that's right.
Right,
and just drill into it really quickly.
Really quickly, yep.
Yeah.
So right now it's okay. I'm looking for this, you know, this area. But you know, it'd be nice to be able to say whatever type of real estate, you know, this okay. I'm looking for here in this area.
Yeah.
And pull all the yeah. That'd be very nice.
Yeah, and you know, another great example. Early on, we worked with a company called Auto Trader Canada.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And so being able to look for used cars.
Yeah.
It's such a natural way. You know, show me all the used cars of this type that are either in this area or within a close proximity
yeah.
to me.
Because right now it's okay, here's my zip code, I need it within 30 miles, but you know what, just let me look here.
Absolutely.
Right, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Well, Liam, thank you for coming. This is fantastic.
I think
this will be have a lot of great applications for, like that we talked about. So it'd be interesting to see how this is adopted and implemented in the future. Thanks for coming.
Appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks. All right, everybody, thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.